Learning in the Parshiyos about dreams. Oh, now I can see you. And that's going to reach perhaps its apex in this week's Parsha, Parshas Mikes, with the dreams of Paro. And I'd like to raise the following question. What is the status of dreams? Are dreams meant to be taken seriously? We're going to try to study various sugyas in Shas. Sometimes the Gemara says, "Divrei chalomos lo ma'alim v'lo moridim." There's nothing to a dream. Other times, Chazal say that a dream is a kind of a nevuah, a prophecy. Different statements of Chazal that lead us to different conclusions. For example, there's going to be a sugya mesecht in Nedarim. B'li Neder, I hope we'll get to it today. About somebody who was put into Nidui during his dream. And the question is, does he have to come in front of a tribunal to receive Hatorah, which is called Hatorah Shalom? Now, on the one hand, as I said before, sometimes Chazal compare the dream to Nevuah. On the other hand, Chazal say that a chalom is full of dvar b'telim. On the one hand, we find, even in the Rishonim, we find that they had chidushim, new insights, based on dreams, and they quote these insights lahalacha. And my question is, do these insights have tokef? Do they have a certain validity in halacha? For example, let's say you have a woman whose husband is gone, we can't find him, she's an aguna, and in a dream, we find simanim that would indicate that he's dead. Can we be mater her, an aguna, based on simanim that we see in a dream? For example, what happens if a person takes a vow, a neder, in his dream? Is that neder something that has any sort of chalos kiyum to it? What about if I need to find an answer to a question? My father was in charge of charity money, and I want to know where that money is located, and he comes to me in a dream, and he tells me where to find money, and I find money there, do I have to give it to the aniyim? Or for example, let's say a person takes what's called a bakasha during his dream. He has a request, and let's say God answers his request during a dream. Does he have to take that seriously? Supposing he sees himself in a dream committing a crime, is that a message from Shemaim that he needs kapara for that crime? What happens, for example, if a person is ill and in his dream his doctor shows up and tells him that he should take a certain medication and not take another medication because it's dangerous? Does he have to relate to that seriously? Let's say a person has a bad dream. Does he have to get nervous about a bad dream? What's the deal? What's the status? What's in a dream? So in order to understand this, we begin with a pasuk in Iyov. And this you'll find on your page 1. Iyov in Perek Lamed Gimel says, "Bechalom chizayon laila binfol tardema," and he's talking about a vision that a person has at night in a dream. And to describe the power of the dream, Iyov says, "Oz yigle ozen anoshim." That Hashem is, so to speak, communicating to the ears of a person through a dream. And if you take a look at the Mitzudas David, he says, "Ki maralo b'chalom," Hashem is revealing to the person in a dream, "davar," something, "yidme lasher nigzar olav," which would at least be similar to, if not identical with, that which is going to happen to him, that which has been decreed on high. And it seems very, very, very serious and severe. And we should relate to dreams quite seriously. The end of the pasuk says, Uvim Mosaram Yachtom. And if you look at the Mitzudas, David, he says, Im lo yaskilu ladas al yidei achalom v'lo yeshuvu l'Hashem. They have to do tshuva. So in this sense, clearly, if I take the Pasuk in Iyov together with the interpretation of the Mitzudas David, I certainly derive the conclusion that what's being revealed to a person is a gzeirah min hashamayim and his obligation to do tshuva. And this leads us to the Gemara in Brachos, on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, which says that a dream is considered echad mishishim l'nevuah. It's 1/60th of prophecy. Well, if it's meaningless, it cannot have it even an element of variable of prophecy. The Gemara tells us in Brachos, on Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph, and this you'll see on the bottom of your page, Helokim Asa, this is a pasuk in Koheles, Sheyiru Milafanav. God does it so that a person should have fear and awe in front of Him with a capital H. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, what does this teach us? Zechalom Ra. Rashi says, what does Zechalom Ra mean? Mir Asa Yashuv Vikana. That based on his tshuva, based on his yira that he has from the dream, yikana, he will have to, in a sense, be subservient to the gzera, and therefore he has to do tshuva. So we see again and again, whether it's the pasuk in Iyov according to the Mitzudas, David, whether it's the Gemara in Haroah about Echad Mishishim Shanavuah, whether or not it's the sugya of Rabbi Yochanan based on the pasuk in Koheles, that a Chalom Ra is foretelling him some sort of evil decree from upstairs, and if he has to do tshuva. In all these cases, we see the severity and the reliability of a dream. Rashi says here in Brachos, on Daf Nun Hamid Beis, that why is Hashem revealing this Chalom Ra to a person? Says Rashi, Kdei sheyidog, he should be anxious about it, v'lo yechted, he shouldn't sin again, v'yechaperlo atzvuno, and his anxiety about the dream and its fulfillment will be a kapara, will be a substitute for the kiyum of that chalom, of that evil decree. But in any event, we see clearly that the purpose and the objective of dreams is to indicate to a person that he's got to do tshuva. The Gemara goes on to tell us that chalom tov tzarech rachamim. Rashi says, tzrichim levakesh rachamim sheyavo. If a person has a good dream, he should supplicate, he should pray to Hashem that dream should come true, it should be realized. Lefi sheheim biyado shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because it's in the hands of Hashem to bring about the realization of that dream. V'einlem rishus lavo ela birshuso, and there's no way that dream could come to fulfillment unless Hashem gives the okay and certifies that dream will take place. And therefore, Rashi says a person should be full of bakoshas rachamim to ask Hashem to bring about the fulfillment of that positive and optimistic dream. If you look on page 2 of Yomar Makomos, you'll see something very interesting in the Hemshech, in the continuation of the sugya. Now it's on Daf Nunhei Amud Beis, and the Gemara establishes that although there is a category of dreams that are very serious, but there's also another category of dreams. And Shmuel ki havachazi chaloma bisha. When Shmuel experienced the bad dream, Amar he declared, v'chalomos, there's a pasuk in Zechariah Novi, hashav yidaberu. In other words, I pay no attention to these dreams. The Gemara is going to object with another pasuk in just 1 second in Parshas Va'aloscha, but before we get to the Gemara's objection, we have on the one hand Iyov and Shlomo HaMelech both testifying and formulating the serious nature of a dream, that Hashem is using the medium of a dream to communicate to man and arouse him to do tshuva. And on the other hand, we have the Navi Zecharia, who declares that Chalomos Hashav Yidaberu. It's all Shav. The Gemara says, Shmuel, you don't take a dream seriously? Vaksiv, but what about the Pasuk? In Parshas Baloscha it says, Bachalom Adaber Bo, meaning even in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem communicated to Moshe through a Chalom. Not always was it a direct communication. We see that a Chalom serves as a valid medium of communication from on high. Now you and I might have said, well, that's not a kasha, that's only Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Gemara sees it as a kal v'chomer. If by Moshe Rabbeinu, which is peh, pal, daber, bo, nevertheless, chalom is another valid method of communication, then certainly for us, we only have that one method of communication. We're not on the level of peh, el, peh, yidaber, that Hashem communicates to us directly. Therefore, we can only get the word from on high through a chalom. And Rava actually presented a stira. Rami, on the one hand it says, Bachalom Adaber Bo, which is the Poskim Baloscha, but on the other hand, Zecharia Novi claims, Chalomos Hashav Yidaberu. Lokasha, now we get to the punchline. Rava is finally going to get us down to brass tacks. How do we know if the dream is to be taken seriously, or should we laugh it off? Ah, says Rava, I'll tell you how you could know. If it's Kan al Yidei Malach, then you take it seriously. But if it's al Yidei Shade, then you laugh it off. Now it's all clear. Now I can rest assured the next time I have a dream, I know exactly whether to take it seriously. Because I know that if it came through a Malach, I have to take it seriously. If it came through a Shade, then I laugh it off. I'm being very facetious, guys, you know that. How do I know whether it's a malach or a shehid? The Gemara says, "Ein marim lo liadam elami hirhure libo." And Rashi explains that what does it mean? Ein marim lo liadam. That's in the middle of your page. Ella mihirhure libo. Says Rashi, "Mashu maharev bayo." What he's thinking about during the day, that's what he's going to see at night. So again, does that mean that I don't take a dream seriously? Because a dream is just an extension of what I see during the day or what I think about during the day. Hirhure libo. So again, Rabos, I'm still in the dark. Again, I don't know if you could see me because I'm in the dark. I would turn on the light, but Yudi said it doesn't help. So that we go on and the plot goes thicker. We have dreams that are Echad Mishishim Shebenavua. We have something called Chalomos Shav Yidaberu Zecharia Novi. We have these two categories. Can we get a grasp on which Chalomos we should classify in which category? The Ramchal in his Derech Hashem touches upon this. So does Rav Shimshel Falhersh in his Pirush Al HaTorah. And all this you'll see on page 1. And the Ramchal in his Derech Hashem, he says that Haskaloso Gamke Nocha V'Shoketz Rakadimyon Levado Yifol. He says that when a person sleeps, then there's a different kind of a balance amongst his faculties, and his faculty of intellect, which is the normal way a person thinks about what's going on in the world through his mind, that house somehow takes a bottom. It's a little bit shut off. You know, it's on the back burners. Now he has another faculty called Dimyon. Dimyon is the power of imagination. That's a much more spiritual, divine power. Levado Yifal. It's a seesaw. So if the Seichel goes down, the Dimyon goes up. And that's the point in which the human being is capable of linking up to higher worlds. V'zehu inyan achalomos asher l'chol b'nei Adam. In other words, when the nefesh, which here reflects itself in the faculty of dimyon, of imagination, becomes superior, high profile, then biosos man, at that point, he notek ktsas mikishurea gufnim. The nefesh is a little bit less attached to its physical component. V'chalokim imeno da'anu ad ruach. And now what's inspired and is intensified is the ruach, which means not the guf, but the more ruchaniut, the ruchani side of man, the spiritual side. And now he's ready to receive a dream, which is a partial nevuah. So he's not ready to completely disconnect himself from his physical being and be a pure nefesh who can receive nevuah. He's not on that level of his pashtus agashmis, but he has to some extent quieted down the faculty of his intellect and intensified the power of his soul, of his spirit. And therefore, achalokim hamenutakim yishotatu, he says those parts that are now disconnected from him, they go, in a sense, in deep freeze. You know, they're out there in cyberspace. They're much less profound. The ELM, Asik, Vinyanim, and Ruchnim, and now the Nefesh can have a direct communication on a spiritual level. And if you look on the left column of the Derech Hashem, he says, Kray Tagil Yodav Hodah. Hodah means he's going to receive some sort of a notification. The Gilui Ozen, God is going to, reveal and expose his ears, you know, to receive messages. Al Yidei, through this Dimyon, this Koch HaDimyon, which is called a Chalom, a dream. And that's what Eov was referring to when he said, Oz Yigla Ozen Anoshim. Ubimasha Osid Lava Ela. Unbelievable. The dream is going to be a communication to him to notify him what's going to happen to him in the future. Is there anybody who can testify that he had a dream and he found out what's going to happen to him? So don't all answer at once. All right. That's a little disappointing. All right, we'll have to, maybe we'll postpone this census until the next gathering of Shishim Ribui. I don't know. Al Yidei Echad Min HaMashav V'Yikra Zeh Gzeira So Yisparach Sheyeda Adav L'Neshama Sheyivada Adav L'Neshama Al Yidei Echad Min HaMasharsim Eizem Min Sheyia. This is the Malach that we spoke about earlier in the Gemara in Brachos that's revealing to him Tez Neshama the Gzeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yimashach Adav L'Nefesh, until finally this penetrates into his soul. The Itztayer B'Dimyon, and then he has this imaginary vision in his sleep. Kefi Masha Tigzar HaChochma Elyona, with the ultimate divine wisdom decrees. And therefore, since the Koach, this agent, is Mimasharse HaKodesh, is one of the highest levels of the angels, is Yeah Dover B'Emes, he has to take this seriously. And im mikochas ahefech, if it comes from a shade, yeah, dover kozev. So there's yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think there will be a difference between.
I was hoping you wouldn't ask that question because I was going to ask that question, and I don't have an answer to that question. Again, at least the Ramchal is giving us a little bit of a flavor of what Eov means when he says that let's take a dream seriously, Ozi Gala Ozen Anoshim. Says the Ramchal, I can explain you the mechanics of how this works and why and how a person during his dream could receive a notification through a malach about what the divine decree and what's going to happen to him in the future, but I can't tell you how to identify that indeed the medium through the stream is the malach and not the opposite, what he calls kochos ha'hefech. And not only that, the plot goes even thicker, because in the next line, the Ramchal writes, after quoting Gemara in Brachos that we saw, that only a chalom which comes through a malach is reliable, but not through a shade. Says the Ramchal, ubekulam, in all dreams, okay, we finally get down to something that's absolutely base bottom common to all dreams. Yesh taroves. There is some sort of mixture, admixture of tziurim, nifsadim, shaladimion atzmo. In other words, not that which is initiated from on high and comes down, communicating through his faculty of imagination, but rather something that comes from him, and he uses his own powers of imagination to create a certain vision. That's called tziurim nifsadim, umasha amru, I efshal chalom below dvarim betalim. That as serious as we take a chalom, we can't go all the way, and we have to realize that even the most serious of chalomos, which has an element of the malach to it, but at the same time, there's some element of Dvar Mitalim based on his own Dimyon Atzmi, where he takes the initiative, and in that sense, it's not totally reliable. So even if you want to take a chalom as a serious communication from an eye, don't take it lock, stock, and barrel. Again, he hasn't given me the exact hanchayot, you know, and this is going to be a halachic question. For example, do I need a hataras chalom or do I not? I mean, if it's dvarim betalim, if it's shav bialma, I don't need a hataras chalom. Shmuel saw a bad dream and he blew it off. If you take a look at Rav Hirsch on the top of your page, and this is Rav Shmuel Hirsch back in Bracious Perek Chaf, you know, we're really going back to the beginning of the story of the Chalomos. He says that the word Chalom in its Shoresh, in its root, comes from the word Elem. Okay, now you can see here where the Aleph is replaced by a Ches, and he says that the word elem and similar words, halot, these words seem to indicate what he calls kashur v'kavul, mekupal u'mekuvats. And I think what he means is that just like a fetus in its mother's womb is, curled up into itself, and in a sense, incarcerated, right? You know, rolled in head into feet. So too, the chalom is going to take us into a certain kind of an incarceration. You know, we're absolutely, you know, captured by the chalom. There's no way to run. We are victimized and totally passive. And then he quotes Eov, but you know, I'm not sure if he wants to derive from the pasuk in Eov what we wanted to derive from the pasuk in Eov, because he says that amongst the various descriptions that Eov offers for a chalom, he says on the one hand, chalom chizayin lail b'nefol tar demal anoshim b'tnumos ale mishkav oz yigle ozen anoshim Uv Mosaram Yachtom Lahasir Adam Lasir Adam Maise Vinova Mikbar Yechase. Okay, we don't have all the posk in front of us. Haratzon Hachofshi, the free will of a person, where a person's mind wanders in all sorts of different directions, is Kavul. When he's sleeping and dreaming, that freedom of expression, of imagination, is totally tied down. It's incarcerated. That was the word chalom from olam. And he goes on to say, haguf haruach polim al pi chukim acherim. Now the body and its soul, its spirit, will operate through different regulations, not the normal regulations of freedom of choice. And kshem shebechalmon Hazem kupolim uchazim beirbuvia ubeheter dmus kolosim anavotim shel haorganism hatidli vatzer. In the fetus, in its very early stage of development, there's a whole irbuvia, a whole mishkababel, and there's no dmus, there's no definite structure. Mishum Shadain Chaserba Nefesh, because the soul has not been projected or injected into the goof, is also Nitzel Shal Atzmos Chaya. Ha Hofech Es Hanavotim Kulam Ludmus Achas Mafrid Beinem Visholit Aleim Kach. Bechalom, let's see from the Marshal to Nimshal, Choser HaSeichel HaPoyel Shal HaNeshama. The intellect which organizes things in a very structured way is completely ineffective, inactive, and therefore what we're seeing is a kind of a stream of consciousness in which things that don't belong together intellectually into one whole are flooding this power, this faculty of imagination in such a way that the person is totally passive without any freedom. And therefore, machshavos v'dimyonos arugim v'achuzim elu b'elum is kashva p'kishrei associatio mikriim. He says that the associative connection between the various images and thoughts is totally accidental. He calls it by coincidence. There's an association between one thing and the other. And that's because the intellect of the person is no longer holding the reins. His machshava is not in control. And therefore, all we have is chalomos, which he says is similar to going back and regressing to the fetal stage of the embryo. And therefore, matzav kazeh lo ha'odem hu achoshiv medam, a man is not actively thinking. El machshavos vadimyonos polim biadam mitoch nafsho ubiyoto matzav yesh laKadosh Baruch Hu omer es dvarav liadam. Now here's the punchline. You know, in the presentation of Rav Shmuel Soloveitchik Hirsch from the beginning to the end, you think he's debunking dreams. He's telling you that the intellect is absolutely inactive. That what you're seeing here is certainly associative, coincidental pieces of an incoherent whole, and therefore discard the chalomos. And guess what? Pungfakert. He says just the opposite. It's when man is in this passive state, where he is not in control of his thoughts, of his intellectual faculties, at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal to a man, Yigala Ozen Anoshim, something of significance, because the chalom is divine. The only problem is that if Rav Hirsch is right, we're in a paradoxical situation, because on the one hand, what I'm seeing in a dream is totally incoherent, and on the other hand, what I'm seeing in the dream is some sort of divine revelation. It's Hasholeach Meis Hashem. Hu HaSeichel HaPoyel. Now it's the divine intellect that's active. It's not my intellectual, human intellect. But yet, what I see in front of me is hardly coherent. So how do I proceed? How do I know? How can I identify? And how can I understand the message that's inherent in the dream? So what's common here between the Ramchal and Rav Shmuel Soloveitchik Hirsch is that man's faculty of intellect is definitely on the back burners. It's asleep, literally and figuratively. And therefore the other parts of the human being that make up his essence, they come to the fore and become dominant. Freedom of choice is way down there, completely inactive. And now man passively receives some sort of communication that goes directly to his nefesh. As the Ramchal pointed out, the gufo shel adam is now in an inactive state, and as a result, the ruchani part of man becomes high profile.
And you eliminate the concept of the shape.
The concept of?
Hey, being a part of it. More of a practicality. No?
The only thing is, Joe, I didn't hear the last word you said, that he removes the element of
a shade being the communicator.
Oh, the shade. Okay. I was wondering if you're sitting in, you know, the sun is the shade. Okay. So which shade are you talking about? You're talking about a demon, you know, some sort of a shade.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem to play a role in really, you know, I'd love to determine that this dream is being passed on to me through some sort of an evil spirit, a shade, but I don't know how to do that. But I think we might want to look on page 4, if we can fast forward. I know I'm skipping a lot, but maybe we'll come back and fill in the missing details. But we have on page 4 a tshuva of the Tashbetz. The Tashbetz was probably the father of one of the most important Sephardic families in the history of Halacha, and that is the Duran family. They originated in Spain, and then some of them migrated from Spain to Algiers. And what the Tashbetz tries to do here in this tshuva is to present what he thinks is a more scientific approach to the cause of dreams, and to understand perhaps why some dreams are true and others are not. Now, I'm afraid to go through the entire tshuva with you. I think it would be a great homework assignment, but I would like to highlight perhaps a few points. And he speaks about the possibility of a tainus, of a fast that a person should take upon himself, or maybe even a community, if the leaders of the community experience this dream, are they obligated to accept upon themselves what we call a tainus tzibur, in which we add certain brachos to our tefillah, especially mincha time, and not only that, to try to get 10 people together to be matir, the nidui, if, for example, during this dream there was a nidui. And once again, you and I would have said, as Shmuel did back in the Gemara, who cares about a dream? What significance does it have? But the Tashbetz is taking this pretty seriously with great awe. And he says in the second paragraph that we should be very careful, b'inyan achalomos b'derech klal, yesh mekomos, in certain places in the Talmud, chachamim zal choshesh shalem, the chachamim are very concerned about a dream, v'yesh mekomos, other places in the Talmud, ein choshesh lem klal. And this is really this was the perplexed situation that we were in. Tell me and shed a light, how do I guide myself? Roy lanu lachzer acher taimei ha'inyan, ki yediyas hadover b'sibosav yediyas shlema. If we understand the backdrop to dreams, then we'll have a greater grasp on the significance of dreams. And he says in the next paragraph that when we see that the Chachmei HaTalmud are very worried about dreams, and they take it very seriously, and he says the following: whenever you see in the Gemara any sort of a masu matan, a give and take about a dream, it means they took the dream seriously. In other places, you'll find ein choshen shlem leklal, that chachamim are not concerned at all. And as an example of the second category, where the Chazal are not concerned about dreams, he refers us to a Gemara in Perek Zeb Borer. Now, I'd like to see if we can get a perception of this Gemara from the inside. So let's take a look on page 2 for a moment, and maybe we'll come back to the Tashbetz. The sugya in Masechta Sanhedrin, in Perek Zeb Borer, it's about 2/3 down the page. Hareshayim Itztayer, the son who lost his father was very upset. Almost Sheinich Lo Aviv. He knew that his father left a certain sum of money as a Yerusha, but he didn't know exactly where it was located. Rashi says, "Vlo Amalem Heichan Heim." So before his father's death, he didn't tell them where to find this money. Uba Balachalom. Okay, we don't know who this Balachalom is, but again, it's one medium or the other. I guess it's either a Malach or a Shein. The Amalo Kach VeKach Heim B'Makom Ploni Heim. He tells him the exact sum of money. He tells him exactly where he's going to find them. And then he adds, Ushal Maisa Shenihem. But the bad news is that this Mos is Maisa Sheni, which means you're not allowed to just use it wherever you are. You're going to have to go through all the complicated process of Kiyu Maisa Sheni, Yushalayim, etc. Is Hoya Maisa, as a result of this Maisa, Amru, they paskin that Direi Chalomos Lo Mailim V'Lo Moridim, that there's no significance to Chalomos. And that means that he doesn't have to assume the son that his dream is true, and the Mos HaMaisa Sheni, Rashi says, Ziyachol Otziyam B'mkoman, he could spend the money wherever he is on the face of the earth. He doesn't have to take the money to Yerushalayim like Maiser Sheni. And when I saw this, I was surprised, because the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, which you'll see in the middle of page 3, seems to take the opposite approach, and that we have to take a chalom, a dream, very seriously. Therefore, nido b'chalom, if in a chalom they put him into excommunication, arei nidui, havi nidui, it's a valid nidui, v'tzarch ha-Torah. And he's going to have to go through an entire process of ha-Torah. V'tzarch ha-Sor b'nei Adam, sheshonim halachos latiro. If you take a look at the Taz, he writes, Asor ha-Nosh matam di'esh lachos shema min ha-shamayim nidu. Okay, we don't know for sure that this is a nidui, but perhaps it is a nidui, and it's a nidui min ha-shamayim. What do you do with a nidui min ha-shamayim? You're in a whammy. You go to a tribunal of 10 Talmidei Chachamim, Sheshonim Halachos, and you get what's called a heter nidui. So on the one hand, the Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to indicate that whatever was revealed to me in a chalom is not something that would obligate me and commit me to go through with the chalom, and therefore treat the Mos as Maiser Sheni. But on the other hand, in Shulchan Aruch it seems to indicate the exact opposite. That if a person was put into nidui in a chalom, in a dream, then he's got to find 10 people in order to be matir, to be matir the nidui. Now, if you take a look, I don't know if you have page 5, but you'll see on page 5 that the Rishonim went even a step further, and they wanted to know whether or not a person who in a dream took a neder, whether he has to take that neder seriously, and if he wants to violate that neder, he has to have Hatorah, which is going to be the sheet of the Rashba. The Rosh is going to disagree. And a lot of this is brought by the Beis Yosef in Hilchas Nedarim. And, you know, when the Shulchan Aruch brings down two opinions, the first opinion anonymously and the second opinion in the name of somebody, then we usually assume he passes like the first opinion. The Tur says, Hanodir b'chalom, kosav adoni ovi arosh sal eno klum. He doesn't need Hataras Chalom or She'elas Chalom. The Beis Yosef immediately quotes the Rashba, who disagrees. But since the Tur quotes the Rosh, the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Reish Yud Sifkaton Aleph, Sifkaton Beis, excuse me, I know there Chalom ain't a klum. He reflects the Sheetal Aloch of the Rosh, quoted by the Tur. But then he writes, Yesh Omrim Sheyatiru Lo Asara. It means that he brings down a more extreme, harsh opinion, a more strict opinion that we need Atara for a Chalom, a neder that he took in a Chalom, and he advocates Yesh Lachush L'Divrayim. And we should really be careful about this. So imagine, even when we find in the Rishonim, like the Rush, that you don't have to pay attention to a Chalom, even so, when we get to the codes of the Shulchan Aruch, because of the Rashba, we're going to find that we have to be very careful about a neder if we took a neder in a dream. And we're going to need She'ela on that neder. Whereas the Rush is debunking a neder, we're going to have to ask, according to the Rush, what do we do with the Gemara in Durham that says that if you were put into Nidui in a Chalom, then you have to get out of that Nidui by bringing together 10 people? Says the Beis Yosef that he says, Koshke b'chalom she'en kan lo pev lo lev lo dami l'nideru b'chalom. He says, in the case of a neder and a chalom, you didn't take the neder, and therefore it's not a binding neder that commits you. But in the case of nidui, where it wasn't you who took this nidui, but at least in your dream you saw other people putting into your nidui, that's a simon klala, and perhaps in such a case we have to take it seriously. And lomaisa lomaskana, the Beis Yosef says, l'chashash bi'alma choshashini l'ravcha demilsa, that in order to be absolutely sure, not only will we require a hataras nidui for something that we saw in a dream, but will even require she'elas nidarim, which he calls l'ravcha demilsa, just to cover our bases and protect ourselves. Umi kol makom, he says, you don't have to gather 10 people to be mati yineder, is beheter bi'alma b'fnei shlosha. It's enough, like any other neder. Don't think that because you took a neder in your dream, that gives it a super status. And the normal halach of gimel to be matir neder doesn't apply, but it does apply. So where are we now? I wouldn't say that we have absolute clarity. What we know is that on the one end, in a dream they tell you that there's money in such and such a place, left by your father, you hid it there, and it's Maisa Sheni, you don't have to take that seriously. If a person takes a neder in a dream, he doesn't need She'ela, according to the Rush, and even La'alacha, it's only L'Ravcha D'Milsa, that he should need She'ela, Yesh Lachush L'Divrei HaRashba, we're going to be Choshesh V'Rashba, but according to strict law, we don't have to be worried about it. On the other hand, in the case of Nidui, where a nidui was forced upon you, then you have to take that pretty seriously. And I'd like to just mention on page 2 a Gemara in Masechta Gittin in Perek HaNizokin, and the Gemara tells a story. Hahu apetropis davi b'shvivuso, he was in the shchuna of Rabbi Meir. Daviko Mizvin Arata Vizovin Avdi Voloshavki Rabbi Meir Achvule Bechalme Anila Ros Viato Livnos Afilohilo Ishkach Viomar Divre Chalomos Lomailin Volomorin. So here we have another case where a person had a dream. And the final conclusion of the Gemara is, you don't have to pay attention to the dream. Divrei Chalomos, Lo Mailin, V'lo Moridin. Rashi adds a few words here. He says, Kishem Shirashoim, L'mochram L'cherim, Kachim Rishoim, L'kabal HaKesem, Miyada Evet. So you can have a dream that tells you that something that you think belongs to you doesn't really belong to you, but you don't have to pay attention to that dream. And yet in other cases, we say we do have to take and pay attention to a dream. So in the very short time that we have left, what I'd like to do is present to you the Tashbates and how he tries to categorize dreams. How do we know whether this dream is to be taken seriously or not? Says the Tashbates back on page 4 that we started seeing before, he says, there's a suffix, we have doubts about divrei halomos, whether they're true and reliable or not. And therefore he says that if the dream is relevant to ownership of monies, what we call dini mamonos, then we have a rule, safek mamona lekula. I don't have to pay you, I don't have to suffer financial loss and cough up the money based on a dream, because that dream is only a safek. And that's what the Gemara in Nedarim and the Gemara that we saw in Gittin means when it says divrei halomos lo mailim velo muridim. We just leave things status quo as they were before the dream, and that means muhzakus, whoever is muhzak, he gets to keep it. That's the muhzakus of dini mamonos, and the safek halom is not going to be mafkia his muhzakus. However, If the dream is relevant to an issue of Iser Veheter, and again, we don't know whether the dream is reliable based on a malach or through the medium of a shade, is then Safek Iser Lahachmir. We have to be choshesh for Iser, we have to be machmir Safek. And that's why in a case where somebody found himself in a dream that they put a whammy on him, they put him into nidui, he's got to take that seriously because it's a safek iser. Basically, again, this is not for us today, but the menudah shares all the isurim of an avel. So if he doesn't know if he's a menudah or not, because he doesn't know if the dream is through a malach and it's reliable, he's got to take the stricter view and Safik Lahachmir. Now, on page 4, we have a Ran. You see the Chidushi Aran in Sanhedrin. And this, I believe, is the Ran in Perek Zeb Borer on the Gemara that says Dibre Chalomos Lo Mailin V'lo Moridim, and the Ran says V'yintomer V'chi Adif Chalomed Echad Di'amrinen Shomayser Sheniyem V'bayis Lomer Klum. If an aide tells you that the produce in your house is Mayser Sheni, then you don't have to rely on the aid, because my Sasheni is Mama on Gavos, he's coming to be Mafkia, you're a Bailus. Eid Echad is not believed to be Mafkia, to be Motzi Mama Michaz Koso. So then what was the Havamina to think that if a person has a dream, and in the dream he's notified, the dreamer is notified that this Mos, which you'll find here and here, are my Sasheni, why would I even think that he has to pay any attention? The Bala Chalom is no worse, no better, I should say, no more powerful than an Eid Echad. And an Eid Echad can't tell you it's my Sushemi. Yesh Lomer Itzrich Salka Daitich. I mean, why would I have a serious Havamina that a Chalom is something reliable and therefore he has to treat this produce as Meiser Sheni? He says, because a Chalom is better than an Eid Echad. Now, wait a minute. Who ever heard such a thing? That a chalom is more reliable and more powerful than an echad? Says the Ran, Shehu echad mishisha minavua. That the status of a dream is that of nevua prophecy, and prophecy is greater than an echad. Now you might ask, well, you know, prophecy is a very powerful tool, but you have to know that the prophecy is true. You know, the prophet is a Novi Emes. I don't know, I can't identify the Bala Chalom who's engendering this Chalom. Is he a Novi Emes or not? I think he's saying here that at least in the Havamim, the Gemara thinks that the very dream itself, the very experience of a dream, is an experience of prophecy. I don't need a balach halom to testify in front of me and convince me that this is Mo's Maaseh Sheni. No, I know it myself because I saw the halom. I experienced the halom. And that creates a reality that's no different than two Edom. But he writes, Kamash Balon in the Maskana, Dafiluchi Dibri Halomos Lo Mailin Velo Modim, Less are Lo Mimamono. He says that the Maskana is that not only is it true that Dibri Halomos do not super, a lot of negatives in my sentence, it's not true that Dibri Halomos supersede in their power and their significance Eid Echad. Moreover, they're a lot less powerful on the scale of credibility than Eid Echad. They're the lowest of the low. Lo Mailin v'lo Moridim. And therefore there's not even a Suffolk Iser over here. Guess what? The Balach Halomos notified him that he could find money in such and such a place. He told him exactly how much money is there, exactly where to find it. I mean, that seems to indicate that Dibrei Halomos Mailim v'Moridim, not Ein Mailim v'Ein Moridim. Afilu Hachi, nevertheless, Lo Mahaniach Halomos Lesar. Once we get to the point of Isur, then we say, Ad Kan, let's stop here. And Dibrei Halomos Lo Mailim V'Lo Morin, and it's all Dvar B'Telim. Again, as long as he told him where to find his Mos, that his father left him an inheritance, that's fine. You want to rely on the Halom? Who's going to stop you from doing that? But to go ahead based on this Halom and create an Iser on his Mammon, that we shouldn't do. So now the question becomes even more complex, because we said that in the case of a nidui, and according to the Rashba, in the case of a neder, we have to take this seriously, and he needs she'ela, or he needs hatoras hanidui in front of 10 people. But you just finished telling me, based on the sugyan zemborer, that a chalom is less reliable than even an eid echad, and therefore in isurim I don't have to pay any attention to a chalom. So what's the deal over here? So if you take a look on page 8, and with this we'll try to wrap it up, you'll see a presentation of the Minchas Asher. Are you all familiar with the Minchas Asher? All right, that's Rav Asher Weiss. Here where I'm talking to you, he's very popular. He gives a shiur here, literally a few steps away from here, on a weekly basis. Anyway, he tries to explain the Ran. And he says that maybe the Ran is offering us another possible way of reconciling the Lechora contradiction. If a dream comes to clarify things, then we apply the principle of Dibrei Halomos Ein Mailin V'Ein Morin. But if the dream is coming to create something new, like a nidui, it's not clarifying something. You know, it's the purpose of the chalom is not to notify you and testify in front of you that you can rest assured that the Mos here that your father left you are Mos Maaseh Sheni. He says in such a case we don't have to rely on the balach halomos. But if on the other hand the balach halomos has you placed into nidui, he says that that's a special din. That Chazal understood that there are two types of nidui. There's nidui le'adam and nidui le'shamayim. Menuda le'shamayim means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through a balach halom, could put someone into nidui. And that's called a menuda min ha'shamayim. But in any event, if we go back to what we discussed in the Tashbeitz, and this is my final word on the subject, that when it comes to Isurim, then we apply the principle of Safek Isur L'Chumra. We have to assume that the Chalom is meaningful. The Neder I took needs She'ela. The Nidri I experienced in the dream needs HaTorah b'fnei Asara, then perhaps we can answer our original question, when do we take Chalomo seriously? If this dream is telling me that I have to do tshuva for a certain sin, that I was guilty of a certain sin, then, just like in the case of a person who took a neder in his dream, the Rashba says he needs she'el on the neder, then if the dream tells him he needs tshuva for a certain avera that he committed, that he's guilty of, then he has to say sofek yisur l'chumra, and this dream is a gilui in which the Baal HaChalomos is revealing to him that his religious and ethical obligation is to do tshuva. However, if the dream is coming to be mavarer dvarim as a birur, you know, it's telling you something about the mos, something about the mos, or let's say, for example, you remember I asked you the question, the doctor comes to you in a dream and tells you, oh, don't take this medicine that you're taking, take a different medication. That's a birur. Then I believe, according to the Minchas Asher at least, that I don't have to pay any attention, and I apply the principle of din, of divrei chalomos ein mailin v'ein moridim. And if that be the case, I don't know that through a dream I can predict the future. Because that might come under the halach, the category of birur, and therefore divrei chalomos dvarim b'telim heim, ein mailin v'lo moridim. And we saw already that ein chalom b'lo dvarim b'telim, and then I take the dream a lot less seriously. Okay, we'll end it here, and Mirtz Hashem, there'll be more to study here on this topic.